Hello and welcome to one of my favorite plus minuses of the year. It is a road plus minus in Minnesota with the legendary John Krasinski, who, what'd you have, like nine roles tonight? Were you doing a sideline, pregame? I'm sure you got a postgame story coming up. I think I saw you at one point out there playing backup point guard, maybe.
They could use it right now, that's for sure. But, you know, like Slater, we got to take advantage. Not many people pay attention to the Timberwolves all the time. So when the opportunities present themselves, I got to do it. But my 15 minutes of fame are almost up for sure.
Well, who knows? It's a big win for the Timberwolves tonight. It's crazy how the standings go. So the Warriors open the day in fifth. And really, you know, they should win this game, and they would. I might have been tied in fourth with the Clippers. I mean, they're, you know, and really, they're up 14. They're up 11 in the fourth. They end up blowing it, which we'll get to, and they're now in ninth because that's how the Western Conference standings work.
That's how it is, and the Timberwolves know that exactly because they played Sacramento on Monday. Had they won that game, they would have been in fourth, and they lost, and they were down to ninth, and now they're back up to sixth or whatever it is now. It's going to be that way the whole rest of this season, which is totally insane to watch the wild swings from night to night.
Yeah, from a Warriors perspective, this is a little bit deja vu. They've blown a ton of games that they should have won. And, you know, there are various reasons for the Warriors to look at their record 26-25 and like, what the hell's happening? Why are we 26-25? Early in the season, it was like just like the lack of help from the youth and maybe some of the roster construction, but we're to the point now at 26-25, the veterans can look in the mirror and they can rehash six or so games over time. I can name some of them: Charlotte, Dallas, Boston, the Brooklyn home game recently where they had a 12-point lead with 5 minutes left, where they just blew double-digit leads, fourth quarter leads, 4-point leads in the final minute in Charlotte, and then today, I mean, you saw it, they're up 11 entering the fourth. And Steph Curry started throwing the ball over the gym. And as he said postgame, this, you know, you win those five games. What are they? They're 31-21.
31-20, yeah.
Yeah, 31-20. Yeah. And he's like, that flips the narrative about this team. And it does. But it's what they're doing. It's mostly what their veterans are doing.
Yeah, and it was interesting. We were talking to D'Angelo Russell after the game, and I asked him about the mentality of being down double digits to the Warriors. And he said it. He said, well, we know that they lead the NBA in turnovers. And so we know that they were going to give us some chances to get back into the game. And so we just had to hang in there and take advantage of those opportunities. And so the book is out. Like, I mean, all these teams know that the Warriors are playing sloppily enough that you're never really out of a game and stay in the hunt, and they will let you back in. And that's exactly what happened tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, I mentioned Steph. He had a few, like one I know that they were kind of kicking themselves postgame about was they're up 11 and he tries some, like, over-the-top tough pass, turns into a D'Angelo Russell 3. D'Angelo, I don't know what he ended the fourth quarter with, but halfway through the fourth, he had 14 points. He shot them back in it, and they were off turnovers and runouts mostly. And then there was weird ones late where, you know, you're talking about, you know, Timberwolves score with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left to go up one. Pretty valued possession at this point. You're dribbling the ball up the court, and then you just turn to the sideline and throw it out of bounds. Like, just straight up, like, tennis unforced errors, like double fault type stuff, and with match point on the line. And, you know, at a time in the season where they keep publicly being like, urgency is needed. It's time to turn the corner, all right? You're past the halfway mark. You know, the state, as bad as they've been, the three seed is out in front of them. Go get it. And then they produce another game like this.
Well, and that's what was huge from a Wolves perspective, is that they are in a battle just like the Warriors are. But to be able to beat this team on your home floor when it looked like you were down and on your way to your second straight loss, with the team that is below you now in the standings, like, that's enormous for these guys. I mean, they didn't have Rudy Gobert. By the end of the game, D'Angelo Russell had fouled out. Jaden McDaniels was out with some cramping. And so they scratched and clawed, and you saw it. Like, Naz Reid was playing banged up. Torian Prince was hurt. Like, all these guys were just, like, playing like it was game seven of a playoff series because there's no more margin for error. And so to, like, getting this win for them was almost like two wins, to be able to just kind of put a team that's right around you down just a little bit and get back on a winning streak after they let a game against Sacramento go in overtime on Monday night that they were not happy about.
Yeah, and, you know, this spirals the Warriors a little bit because now they head to Denver on the second night of back-to-back. They played overtime again, just as they did in Boston, and lost in overtime in Boston. last week or whatever it was, 10 days ago, and then they rested everyone in Cleveland. Now, Ty Jerome and, you know, some of their other backups then went out and won that game in Cleveland. But they're in Denver tomorrow night, 42 minutes for Steph, 40 for Clay. I do not expect the big names to play. That isn't confirmed yet, but I don't expect that. And I also don't expect Ty Jerome and the Warriors B and C squad to stun the world again. Maybe it could happen, but they, assuming it doesn't, they're suddenly staring at a 1-2 road trip that 2 hours ago from when we're talking seemed like it was heading towards 2-0 and like, you know, okay, you can kind of have a giveaway game in Denver. Well, it's no longer really a giveaway game. It's probably going to be given away anyways. And you're back at 500, 26-26.
Yeah. And I think like that is when you lose a game like this, it really, you have to go steal another one somewhere else. So like that puts more pressure on a Denver game, and the Nuggets are playing really well. And especially at home, they're really, really good, and the Warriors are not good on the road. And so it would not seem to be going their way, but that's what the Timberwolves basically felt coming into tonight. That after giving away the game against Sacramento on Monday, they had to go find one that they were not expected to win. They were not expected to win this game, especially with Gobert out. And so for them to get that, it's like, okay, you can at least clean one of those bad losses off of your schedule because you got a really good win for it. And so now the Warriors are in the same position. They got to go find and steal one that you might not expect them to win somewhere along the way.
Yeah. Warriors start small again. You know, they're committed to this lineup that has tallest players, Andrew Wiggins, former Timberwolf Andrew Wiggins, mm-hmm. who had some guests in the locker room postgame. Still somewhat, I don't want to say beloved here, but...
I think Wiggins was not well-liked while he was here. Within the organization, everyone loved him. Like, he's a great guy, great teammate. Everyone loved him from a, like, community fan standpoint. A lot of just frustration that he was a number one overall pick, that he did not turn out the way that they wanted him to turn out as a franchise guy. But since he left and went to Golden State, I think that a lot of fans have been kind of happy for him that he's found a niche, he's played really well, got to the All-Star game, won a championship. And you can't be mad at Andrew Wiggins. He's just too nice of a guy. And so, and they're certainly happy here because Edwards is becoming that player that they always wanted Wiggins to be. So it's a little less sour grapes. But and now that D'Angelo Russell is shooting the way that he is, now at least the trade stings just a little bit less for them because he's been really good for the last 2 months for them and is helping them a lot. They have a big decision to make at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Huge one. But yeah, I think like Andrew has a lot of fans here because he's just such a good person.
I've been trying to eat in more often lately, so I signed up for Home Chef. I've had a few packages come in, and being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over all the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, even for someone like me who isn't making it onto Top Chef anytime soon. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what you're making ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals, plus free shipping on your first box and free dessert for life at homechef.com/plus. That's homechef.com/plus for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. Homechef.com/plus. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
D'Angelo Russell's like life is always in question at the trade deadline. Like,
yes.
What is this, like his fifth trade deadline probably that he's been, staring at some unknown. You know, but I was mentioning the small lineup. They're continuing to try it. They seem quite committed to it. It's not, I don't think it's been terrible for them. It was actually really good in the first quarter in Oklahoma City. I don't know what the final numbers were today. It seemed like it was kind of struggling late. It's really small. you know, Looney's now playing backup center. They don't have nearly the you know, punch off the bench. Kerr really shortens the rotation. He goes 9-man rotation in the first half, which includes Anthony Lamb. Anthony Lamb doesn't play in the second half. It's an 8-man rotation in the second half. Looney, DiVincenzo, Kuminga. It's really who he trusts at this point. Lamb would be 9. JaMychal Green on some nights I think might edge into that 9th-man role. But let me ask you, do they feel thin to you when you watch them? Do the Warriors feel thin?
Yeah, I think a little bit. It looks like it feels like they need another move for sure, because I understand especially why Steve Kerr went small against these guys, because the Kings went small in the overtime against the Wolves, spread them out. Rudy had a hard time with that, and they really folded. And so, you know, I think that they expected the same thing. The big thing for the Warriors in this game, like the Wolves get hammered on the glass all the time, especially when they're small, like they were tonight with Naz Reid at center and not Rudy Gobert. And so for them to only win the rebounding battle by 5, actually get out-rebounded on the offensive glass, like the Wolves never out-rebounded.
Well, Warriors don't hammer anybody on the glass, so it was not strength against strength.
You look at it and you know, Looney's a solid Warrior dude, but like, where's the pop like that is going to come off the bench to give them some sort of boost when Steph sits, when Jordan Poole isn't like rolling the way that he can. And it feels like, yeah, like this is a team that is going to need something to give them a little bit extra gas, because they just don't quite have enough there.
Yeah, I mean, these are the nights where the lack of trust in a Moses Moody, yeah, who you thought was going to be a 20-minute-per-night sturdy rotation player, and he hasn't been. And they've kind of given up trying to see if he can become it, at least at this point. James Wiseman, obviously, we don't need to get into that saga.
Yeah.
But he's DNP, I think, for a 4th straight game tonight. And I think part of it is because a lot of those guys are going to play big minutes tomorrow, and it was like almost like they went pedal to the metal for this one. Felt good with a condensed rotation. If they do pull it off, if they just don't, you know, throw it up in the 4th quarter, then you're probably going, you know, solid coaching job, go with the Titan rotation, get the win, give the young guys tomorrow night. But then, as you know, in sports, when you do lose, it's like you go bigger picture, and it's like, you know, it would be nice if Moses Moody could get on the floor. He's been good. You know, they sent him down to the G League. He's scoring like crazy. I personally wouldn't mind seeing him get another shot. I will continue to say I think there's a rotation player in there. Mm-hmm. They're not even attempting to find out at this point.
Yeah, no, to not see the floor against this team especially, that is bothered by quickness, athleticism. I mean, I was even just a tiny bit surprised they didn't try Wiseman at some point, because the one thing that Naz Reid really struggles against is size and mobility, and Wiseman can do that. But Naz, like, is not afraid of going at Draymond. Is not afraid of Looney from that way. If you match him up against someone of similar size, he's very skilled with the ball and can attack that way, and then doesn't also get just punished defensively, which is they've been hemorrhaging points when Rudy Gobert is off the floor and Naz is on. But tonight they really locked down. I mean, 21 points in the 4th quarter and overtime to the Golden State Warriors is unheard of.
21 points in 17 minutes.
Yep.
I believe the Warriors were 0 of 10 from 3 in the 4th and overtime, 0 of 5 in the 4th, 0 of 5 in overtime. Kerr was killing their shot selection late, killing the turnovers, said they weren't boxing out. You mentioned the rebounding that never tilts to the Minnesota and did. Add it to the list. Another bad loss in, you know, a C-minus of a season from the Warriors so far, that your only saving grace is these Western Conference standings, really.
Yeah, and that's what the Wolves tried to look at big picture when they struggled early. I mean, with Kat and Rudy, and they were 16-21 at one point, but they weren't buried in the standings. And I think that's the good news for the Warriors, is they are not buried. They're still right there. You just go on a little bit of a run and you're going to climb the standings real quick. And I mean, Austin Rivers was telling us in the locker room, he's like, they're going to be there. They're going to be a deep playoff team. I don't care what the record is right now. But I do think from afar, it does seem like a team that has won so much, but is just expecting to flip that switch. And I think the switch is a little harder for them to flip than it was before, given their the lack of depth, given the
age.
Yep.
And you know the other one, and I don't think it gets talked about enough, the hunger's not it's just not there. And like, I'm not saying it's not there completely. I'm just saying it's not what it was last season. Last season was this like really invigorated quest to like reclaim their mantle, really kind of put the stamp on the dynasty. And you know, look, they did. Like, you know, everyone saw that title last year. That didn't feel like a normal NBA title. That felt like a, you know, a crowning of like a career achievement. It's like a legacy defining punctuation point. Okay, will you wake up again the next season and it's like have that same hunger? It just isn't there.
Yeah, and I'm sure you see this in every arena, but this was the most electric Target Center's been all season. The Warriors have carry a target on their backs, and this team, the Wolves, like laid it all on the line. And they, you know, Austin said it to us. He's like, these games mean everything to us, and you cannot substitute or manufacture that hunger when you've had so much success, and when a game in February in Minnesota when it's cold as hell outside, like there's no way that they should get up for it the same way. But that is a challenge for them because they have to get the haymakers thrown at them every single night, because the Wolves are going to walk out of here and these fans are going to walk out of here feeling like they won a title, because this is their barometer. And and I just, you know, it's got to be hard to match that intensity, you know, for 82 nights a year.
I wonder if the Warriors wish, they would never say it publicly, but wish Gobert had played tonight.
You know, I wonder about that too. I do think that it has been a push and pull with this team so far, in terms of playing with Rudy. It is unconventional. It's harder for them. They believe they play better. Some of the players, not all of them, some of the players believe they play better without Rudy, and so they play a little more freely, certainly offensively. You saw what Nasri did. I mean, 24 points. Rudy Gobert's not going to do that for you, and he came up with some huge buckets for them. They're just light years better, pun intended, defensively with Rudy on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
But I do think that it would have been interesting to see, because there were some players in that locker room after the Sacramento loss that were not happy that Rudy was on the floor against a small Kings lineup. And so they just played with a lot of confidence with Naz Reid out there, and he gave them buckets, and it was big for them.
The perpetual plight of Rudy Gobert against small lineups. You see, like, Rudy Gobert had I assume it was him, it said Rudy's Kids on it. It was this roaming robot. And it, on the panel, was like kids from, I don't know, maybe France or something, on Zoom. And, you know, I don't know if Gobert sponsors it or whatever, but it was just roaming around the arena pregame, like going into places, going out towards the court, going towards the locker room. And just, it was just kids on FaceTime, like, well, getting an experience of the inside of an NBA arena. There was even players stopping and saying hello to them. And it was also Rudy's Kids. And it was like, it almost looked like a robot vacuum that was going around with them. I don't know. I just felt like bringing that up.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It just showed up the last two games now. And the kids they're really ill, like from a children's hospital in France. And so Rudy has kind of got a partnership with the group that brought this robot in, and it's for kids who can't ever go to games, who never get that kind of an experience, and the robot follows them into the locker room, follows them all over the place, and tries to give a little pick-me-up. So it's a pretty neat thing that he does.
Sounds like a you'll soon read it in The Athletic from John Krasinski. All right, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man.
And when do they come out to the Bay? Like,
they do come out to the Bay. It's not until March. I think they're on the road for the whole of March. So hopefully I'll be out there and see you guys. But always good to see you, man.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't feel like I would say the one thing, this has felt a little bit more rivalry-like the last few years, with obviously like the Wiggins Town stuff, D'Angelo Russell, the trade, all the stuff that's happened in the past few years. No Towns on the floor tonight. I think with what Wiggins has done, like that storyline, I think has moved a little past, as you mentioned. We're separated enough with even D'Angelo Russell that it didn't feel like that didn't feel like it mattered at all today.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I do think that it felt like the previous couple of years it had turned up a notch because Towns and Patrick Beverley like to talk some trash. And I do think that some of the players, certainly on the Warriors but elsewhere, love to go at Rudy Gobert for whatever reason it is. Like they love to attack him.
You're correct.
And so being that Rudy was not in the game, Towns was not in the game, Patrick Beverley is playing and getting technicals in with the Lakers, there's not the same sort of toxicity. And I think that there's a lot of respect that the Warriors have for Ant. And they see him as a worthy adversary, maybe as opposed to their views of some of the other Wolves that have come through here. And so just was a totally different vibe that way.
Agreed. All right, John, maybe we'll talk to you in March. Maybe there'll be a playoff series between these two. Who knows? Like, the West playoff bracket could go any direction at this point. So maybe that's the direction it'll go. We will see. Thank you for coming on.
All right.